You get when you take a bunch of public radio nerds and shut them in a room with computer geeks? Well, in addition to some bizarrely socially awkward offspring, you get the Public Radio Player. It's a new iPhone app that streams hundreds of public radio stations, including this one, straight to your iPhone and iPod Touch. You can get more information at publicradioplayer.org.
HFCC's bookkeeping certificate is designed to prepare students to work as a bookkeeper in any small to medium-sized business. Students are trained to use a double-entry accounting system to perform basic accounting functions and to use computerized accounting software. Courses in business math applications, written business communication, and office protocol are also part of the program. For more information on HFCC's Certificate of Achievement in Bookkeeping, contact instructor Charles Lacey at 313-845-9657. That's instructor Charles Lacey at 313-845-9657.
Think you have what it takes? We do. Henry Ford Community College. Visit us online at hfcc.edu.
Henry Ford Community College is a great way to get a valuable education at a lower cost. Visit hfcc.edu and compare for yourself. You'll see that the cost of 60 credit hours at Eastern Michigan University is $10,000 higher than the cost of 60 credit hours at Henry Ford Community College. It's $12,000 higher at Oakland University and $17,000 higher at University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. Remember, we offer a four-year tuition freeze guarantee, which assures you that today's tuition rates will be frozen for students who graduate from HFCC within 4 years. Henry Ford Community College is located near the corners of Ford and Evergreen Roads. Visit hfcc.edu for more details. The choice is clear. Henry Ford Community College, your best choice, guaranteed.
Listen to the 1 Plus 1 show on Sunday nights from 9 until midnight. The 1 Plus 1 show is hosted by Mrs. Robinson. I'll be bringing you the best in indie rock, indie pop, and music that will just mellow you out. So tune in to the 1 Plus 1 show every Sunday from 9 until midnight on the station making waves, WHFR.FM.
This is Dr. Wally B. from Cat Daddy in the 1320s, and you are listening to WHFR Dearborn, making waves.
Disclaimer: this show is a WHFR talk show presentation. The opinions expressed by WHFR staff and our guests are not necessarily those of anyone here at Henry Ford Community College, not faculty, staff, administrators, anyone on our board of trustees, or students.
You're listening to WHFR Dearborn, and this is a pre-recorded program.
Parents well, their children's hell will slowly go by and feed them on your dreams.
Hi, welcome. I'm Margaret King Ahmed, and I'm your host of Parent Connect. And every fourth Monday of every month, you can hear us here at WHFR Dearborn. It's 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock, pre-recorded, but great listening. And in the studio today, we have three wonderful guests that took some time today to be here with us. We have Tamuka White, we have Wilhelmina Leonard, and we have Zaina Czar, all people I know and actually have had an opportunity to talk to earlier today at a restaurant that we all went to and just visiting and kibitzing about things. And we're going to talk to Wilhelmina today and to Tamuka about their story, their personal story, and their life growing up as exotic dancers. And we wanted to talk about this particular topic because we find that, you know, young girls today are really, they feel desperate. They want to get out there. They want to make money. They want to make money fast. And And Wilhelmina and Tomuko want to just kind of give kids a heads up and girls a heads up, and this is not really the path that you really want to take, but I'm going to let them go ahead and share their story. Welcome, ladies. Welcome, all of you. Thank you.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And Zaina actually is a parent here in Dearborn who took a parenting class with me. And I just love her perspective on things. And we have kind of a diverse perspective. We have Arab American and African American. So you're going to hear a lot of kind of cultural changes between the different cultures. And so anyway, let's go ahead and start with, well, first of all, Tomuko, you are working with community services. Is that correct?
Yes, community choices.
Choices, yeah, my apologies. And how do you know Wilhelmina?
Wilhelmina is a longtime friend of mine that I used to work with. We met at school, Ferndale Adult Education, and I went back to school to get my high school diploma.
Okay, and you also know each other from the dance world, the exotic dance world, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, the stories you were sharing with us at the restaurant really were mind-blowing, I have to tell you, and very eye-opening. And so that's why I thought it was really a great opportunity to have you here and share the story. So go ahead, Wilhelmina, why don't you start with your story?
Again, my name is Wilhelmina Leonard. I am a retired professional adult entertainer. I have a website at www.jesussaveslexi.com. Of the lifestyle of the professional adult entertainment exotic world, and it's just a background to the lifestyle in the industry of the adult entertainment business. It's pretty much to talk to young girls and everyone for the women to stray to that lifestyle.
Yeah, and you were saying at the restaurant as we were talking just how difficult it is and how easily it is to get pulled into that business, because it is a business.
Yes, a lot of girls go in for money and they have their goals set just to make money, but they seem to get sucked into the industry. It's more like a hurricane or a cyclone for the money. A lot of girls go in for school. They have their goals and their dreams, but the money and the aspect of it in the world, they just it draws them into more for the drinking. A lot of girls have children and they need to make ends meet every month, and it's just a lot that they have to do coming into the industry. It's not all what it's cracked up to be. Everything that everybody sees in the adult industry is not what really goes on.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Wizard of Oz, the guy behind the screen, right, or behind the curtain. We don't see them until we actually get to that point, that breaking point, right? So go ahead, Tomuko, tell me a little bit about how you got involved.
Well, I was working 3 part-time jobs, making minimum wage, and I was also going to school full-time. I was going to Oakland Community College, and I also had a son at the time. I knew quite a few females that were exotic dancers, and I was listening to how they were saying how much money they were making a night, and I wanted to see what it was about, so I went out there and got my dance license and started dancing.
Okay, so how old? How old are we talking about?
I was 21.
Okay, and Wilhelmina?
And I was 16. I got into the adult business. I seen a flyer at the bus stop, and it was a flyer. Dancers make $500 to $1,000 a night, and I called, and of course, the guy who had the flyer out there was a pimp.
Yeah, and so really the lifestyle is nothing that you cracked up to be, like you said. It wasn't anything that you really felt was benefiting you as a human being, as a person in this world, giving back to the world.
No, everything as far as the dancing of what I seen and what I heard, what I thought it would be, was all false.
Yeah. So what would lead a young lady to go that extreme or go that down that path?
Well, I think every situation is different. Like I had, you know, both parents in the home and stuff like that, but I wanted to see what it was about. But me being in the dancing world and getting to know different women there, I know that a lot of women probably was molested or raped, and it was different reasons for different people, you know, dancing. And of course, the fast money. You know, everybody want that fast money. Who wouldn't want to go to work making $500 to $1,000 a night versus making $500 every 2 weeks, you know, so.
Right, right. So I don't know. I guess the question is, if there's parents at home, how is it that women still end up on that road?
Well, I was out on my own, so my parents didn't know I actually kept it a secret from them.
Okay.
Because I knew that, especially my father, he would have been, ashamed.
Right.
But it's easy to get caught up into the world.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's easy to lose yourself.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, because there's so many distractions.
Right.
And if you can live, and you, actually, Wilhelmina, you used a phrase at that restaurant today about it's like the underworld. Can you explain that?
I call the adult entertainment profession the underground world. It's mentioned, it's the underground world. What we see today and what we're driving around, we're watching television and we're watching these things as reality, but there's the underground world that goes on out there for people like us that was professional entertainers, and it's a lot of sex, it's a lot of drugs, it's a lot of money, it's a lot of substance abuse, it's a lot of just a lot of wicked, evil things that goes on, and people just deny the things, the reality of it.
Wow. So the denial, that's a big part of this.
Yes, it's a very much of denial. When you try to go speak about these things in public, a lot right. of people are in denial. They do not want to hear the truth or what really goes on. They try to cover it up and shove it up under the rug, and which is not a very good process for that, because what the person is trying to do, they're calling for help.
Mm-hmm.
When they're speaking out or trying to get their point across for somewhere, they're really crying and calling for help.
So usually people go out on the edge before they start crying for help. And Zaina, you were talking about something earlier about, because we were saying, how do we avoid these kind of pitfalls? And not to say that, professional dancing isn't a wonderful, it can be a wonderful endeavor in a different kind of format, obviously, because there are folk dancers and there are different types of dance around the world that help us celebrate life, maybe even death, like in New Orleans. They have the fellas that come out and do the dancing and marching down the street and playing the instruments, and it's a celebration. But in this way, it's really a disrespect. And so we were talking about what are some of the ways that we can avoid the pitfalls. And so, Zaina, you were talking about some kind of a support system, like in the Arab American families, we have a support system. And can you just talk a little bit about that, or what happens when you do go astray from the traditions or from the culture? What happens for a young lady?
Well, being from a big family myself, a very large extended family, I have 6 uncles and 6 aunts just on one side. I know my uncle's going to call and ask about me, hey, what's up, what's going on, how are the boys? They're going to look, we all look after each other. We are very tight-knitted. We, even if one of us was to go off and do something wrong, we are brought back in and we're asked what is it that's like needed for them to help us and keep us together and safe and, you know, maybe not always well off, but okay to make ends meet. And that really helps. And even my 2 little boys know that their great uncles are going to ask about them. What's going on? What are you doing? How's school? What do you need to excel in life and to be more productive with your time? So when you know you have a support system like that, you're less likely to go and find other things to fill voids inside you that you might have when people in your family have not given you maybe time and the right kind of attention for you to be productive in your life.
Yeah, and I remember we were talking about that, the time parents
time and education.
Time and education, mm-hmm. How critical those two components are for our young people today. And we were also talking, somebody made mention about the popcorn brain
popcorn
or something.
Popcorn brain.
Yeah, mm-hmm. can you say a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, I was just reading an article online the other day how this generation is popcorn brained. If things are not fast-paced and just jumping from one thing to the other without much thought, we have a meltdown and we can't handle it. We need to, things have to keep on snapping so quickly around us, from our phones to our conversations to what we do to the events that we attend. If we're not all over the place and doing many things at one time, it just won't do it for us.
So just being overstimulated.
Yes.
Really is what it's about. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. I was thinking that maybe we could talk a little bit about how are some of the ways we can avoid these pitfalls. I know that as young girls, even young boys, but young girls, we want to strike out on our own. We want to prove ourselves. And what better way to do that but to leave home and say, you know, I'll show you. I can do this. I'm capable. But, you know, like you're saying, aunts, uncles, even grandparents, some people don't have that inbred kind of support. So where do they go? What do they do? Who do they turn to? You know?
Well, again, when you're out there and kind of lost and don't know what to do, there is help. I went to Lincoln Behavioral Services. It is at 9329 Telegraph Road, Redford, Michigan, 48329. Their telephone number is area code 313-937-9500, and their 1-800 number is 1-866-462-6730. They have an intake process from children to 18 years of age. This is a great process for helping children that has behavioral problems. I've been there myself, and it helped me on the process while I was in the adult entertainment industry to get out of the industry. It's good for talking and trying to communicate with someone about a problem that they might be able to see that you don't see. And it's just a very a great resource for help. There is help out there.
Can you give that number one more time, though, for people that might just be getting a pen or a pencil right now?
Yes, that number is area code 313-937-9500. Their 1-800 number is 1-866-462-6730, and it's Lincoln Behavioral Services.
Okay, Zaina, go ahead.
What I overheard you speaking about earlier in the restaurant about trust issues, how people are actually that are stuck in this business and want to get out, how do they overcome the trust issues to actually go and speak to someone at one of these centers?
Well, the places that have these centers, they have multiple people and workers on staff. So you will go to the intake process, and you will be able to talk with a worker, and it's up to you and your parent to find out, is this the person that is for you? Mm-hmm. If not, then you can go to another worker, and they have like programs set up to design this especially to help children. This is what they do for a living. And it's very, very resourceful.
Now, what we're saying children, what ages are we talking about?
We're talking birth to 18.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's huge. That's wonderful.
Yes, it's the problems in children has become very broad in the mm-hmm. U.S., and it begins at a very young age. We have people, teenagers, killing people at 13 years old.
Yeah, right, so. Right. And girls having babies.
Girls,
I mean, still young themselves, babies themselves in some ways, big ways.
And the parents don't know what to do.
Right.
There are places out there. There is also another place called the Children's Center. It's at 79 West Alexandrine Street, Detroit, Michigan, 48201. Their main number is 313-262-1072. Their call center is area code 313-262-1212. The Children's Center is designed for children not to be alone, that this is immediate help. They have over 20 programs. They have an intake process as well. And once you call, the appointment is given within 14 days of the telephone call. And you can visit thechildrenscenter.com. But this is a very resourceful establishment for children. And again, a lot of people and children and women do not trust people being in it, especially coming from the adult entertainment industry, because we see so much that's going on in the world. So we really have a big issue with trust. But once you get into a program and you like someone and the program is working, it's very, very helpful. You just have to make a step and try a step for it to work. You have to do something new, and but it works.
Oh, that's good. That's good to hear. Actually, one of the things that I was thinking about as you were speaking is, how do you get there? I mean, you know, maybe you're not driving yet, and you're involved in these kinds of situations, and you can't really go to the pimp or the guy that, you know, is keeping you in the dance world, right? So, you know, I guess, where do you go? Who do you turn to? Do you turn to your parents? I mean, that would be the likely place to turn, right?
No.
Oh, not the parent. So where could you go? I mean, would you just try to get on a bus? You'd have to have some money to get on a bus and then to get there. And can you get yourself in there not being legally an adult yet? Can you still go in and, you know,
yes,
what, get services?
Yes. These places, they have bus tickets. They have it's set up and designed transportation for you to commute to these places. Huh. Yes, they do. And can you repeat the question about the you spoke about they don't know where to go. A lot of people talk to their friends. They okay. will not talk to their parents. So parents, be aware. Most women or this children is going out to be in an adult world, they will not talk to you. This is something that they will hide from you. They will get out here and do anything they can to go try to make money. And the best way is to try to get someone to communicate with your child. It's a lack of communication somewhere in between your child and the parent.
Mm-hmm.
If you can establish a very good communication with your child, things will be a lot better. And if you had a third party in there helping you, someone to assist the situation as a whole, then it's very, very, it's very good.
Yeah, and so it makes me wonder why we don't have more parenting programs, why we don't have some kind of a curriculum for parents. While kids are in school, parents could also be in school. Some of these parents are at home. They could be getting some help. They could be getting some skills and, you know, to learn how to communicate, because that is everything. You're absolutely right. Communicating and not feeling that as the parent, you have to have full charge or full control over your child, but that it's a shared control. You know, oh, you'd like to do this? How do you think you might want to see that happen? Do you see yourself in school? How can we make that happen? Do you, you know, you want a job here? How can we make that happen? Do you know how to fill out an application? Let's get one and fill it out together. So that whole idea of working together, collaborating as a parent, as a child, but sharing the control, that it's not a dictatorship at home. It's not might makes right. It's my way or the highway, but it's more a case of this is about you too. I've grown up. I've had my life. Now it's your turn. I'm going to do everything I can to be that network to support and to guide you. So I don't know. Zainab, how's it going with you raising two kids? And I know you're a single mom right now. How's that work for you?
I remember before beginning the parenting classes with you, I went into your class and, you know, there were small, like, issues, like, you know, picking up the laundry and not tattletaling on your brother. And, you know, sometimes I think a parent might feel paralyzed and you just can't do anything about the current issues that you have, the behavior issues with your children. And so the first day I went to the class, I was like very pessimistic and, oh, well, no one can solve my issue or the kids are too old for me to do anything. But just going to six simple half-hour classes really empowered me as a parent to empower my child to know how to make correct choices in life. And these support groups and the small meetings that we had when we did pick up on parenting skills and tips, very simple things, really went a long way. And this summer has been great, just with me, for example, telling a child to check himself before going out of a car to remember his lunchbox. So these little keywords and the little things that you can pick up from other parents that have the same struggle as you really empower you as a parent, where you feel confident and much more enabled to speak to your child and empower your child so they're able to make the correct choices in life and they can be independent and strong on their own.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, Tomoko, go ahead.
And then with me I have three boys, 15, 7, and 3.
Wow.
And my 15-year-old, we're going through our thing right now, but I take him to all of them. We go to church every Sunday. I keep them in a, they have this young teens on Friday at the church, so I have to try and keep him occupied. Mm-hmm. But when we were having like communication issues, I took him to see a therapist, which was a male therapist, and he felt more comfortable talking with him. So we go and see a therapist once a week, and our communication skills is better. But I think that you should keep your kids, you know, active and trying, even with being a single parent, because it's hard.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, like we were speaking of in the beginning, extended families help. Well, like you were saying, some people don't have an extended family.
Right.
Just surrounding your life and your children with people who are productive and positive in their life, from mentors to therapists to family members, to churches, to mosques, whatever it is, anyone that can offer positive support and a watchful eye, an extra eye on your child, your kid will know that these are the standards that he has to measure to, and these are the people that are going to look after him, and there is someone that's going to fill the void in them and be there when they need support and they need help. These things really go a long way, even in activities. They know their coach is going to be like, hey, what's up, you know? So
checking in with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's always good to have somebody to look up to. I mean, can
Definitely.
You think back at a time in your life where you really, there was somebody you really looked up to? You said, this person really has impacted me in a positive way. Even in school, was there anybody in school? Was there anybody in the family? Is there, I mean, this is for all of us, if anybody wants to speak to it. I just want to know if there was one person that helped turn you around or help you see the light, or, do you know what I mean, empowered you some way?
Well, for me, I didn't have anyone.
Okay.
I cannot see myself looking up to anyone at the time.
Okay.
And I was emancipated. Some people, when you don't have the resources or the adults there to help you, there you can legally be grown as an adult at 16 years old, but you are unable to vote. I was legally emancipated. And also, there are children out there who do not have the support system. They just do not have a background support system for someone pulling them to do right in the world.
Mm.
They can apply to get legal guardianship out of the person who's in charge of them,
mm-hmm.
and apply to legal guardianship into another adult's name who is willing to help them. When I was able to find help and when I was able to get emancipated, I went through Michigan Rehabilitation Services. And you can just Google them on Michigan Rehabilitation Services. And they have an intake process. Their locations goes by zip code. And this is a process where it's for disabled people, physical, mental, LD, substance abuse, and they work with transitional students in high school, but you are able to work. They have a lot of resources. They have resources to group homes, to work, for bus, transportation, schooling, college, tutoring. Once upon a time, I didn't have any clothing. My family destroyed all of my clothing. They have services for clothing. There are resources out there. I was just able and blessed to get to these services. And once I got in, I seen that they were helping me. And that's when I was able to find someone to help me. And I was able to pull out of the adult entertainment industry. But again, I got sucked back in.
Mm. Wow, go ahead. Yeah, Sarah.
As you were saying earlier, some girls don't even know that they can go apply for financial aid in order to begin school and feel empowered, where they do have a brighter future and opportunities they can get their hands on. So just by whoever is like listening, you know, let people know, yes, someone can help you fill out financial aid, and there are grants and there are resources and ways which you can become empowered and begin a new step in life.
Yeah, I think it starts with by saying just, yes, I can. Yes, I can. I can be who I want to be. And that whole idea of being who you want to be, I mean, you every day have that freedom to get up and say, who do I want to be today? What do I want to be today? It doesn't have to do with anybody else. It's with yourself and within yourself. It's not an outside thing. It's an inside thing. And so when you're empowered from the inside, nothing can shatter that from the outside. And you don't get the distractions. Go ahead. You're going to say something that looks like...
I was agreeing with you. It does. Because before I stopped dancing, I had actually got pregnant,
mm-hmm.
and I was still in a bar at 5 months dancing, and my attitude had changed. Like, you know, I'm tired. I don't want to do this anymore. And once I had my son, I got a job. I was only making like $7.75 an hour, and I ran into some of my ex-girlfriends, and they were saying, oh, you're going to come back. You know, you're not going to last long working. And I've been working 8-9 years now,
yeah,
a regular job. So you have to be determined, and you have to get to the point where you're tired.
Yeah.
You want something different. You have to motivate yourself. Even if you don't have no one to motivate you, you have to encourage yourself and motivate yourself.
Wow, that's powerful. Yeah, Zaina, go ahead.
And like you've taught us in many of our classes, everything is a choice. Where you are and what you've become is your choice. What the choices you have made in your life have brought you to where you are. So if you want to wake up one day and just make a different choice, and even though the first step might be difficult, you can always get there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we've got this freedom. This is a freedom. Choice is a freedom. And so not to use it wisely is really, we have only ourselves to, you know, blame for that. But go ahead, Wilhelmina.
And you also have to have the mindset mm-hmm. to, when you're going out and from coming from the underground world and you want to go to school and you want to communicate with someone for help, you the best mindset is to kind of block out of people judging you. You're gonna get a lot of judging coming from the adult entertainment industry, or how could you do that, why, and all of the negative things. But you can take the negative and block it out and make it something positive and say, I can do this.
Yep, and I agree. And we're going to just take a little break here. But I want to tell you, first of all, I got to give you a little disclaimer. The views and comments that are shared here on this show are not the views and comments shared by WHFR or HFCC. But stay tuned.
Hey, this is Anorexic Beauty Queen.
And you're listening to WHFR.FM.
Welcome back to Parent Connect at WHFR, 89.3 on your FM dial. And I'm in the studio today with Wilhelmina Leonard and Tomoko White. And our guest, Zainab Zar, who was with us earlier, has left us. But I want to thank her very much for coming in and sharing her points of view from the Arab American culture and the way she's been living her life, as a single mom. And we're in the studio talking today about the struggles that young women have and Well, the two guests with us today, Wilhelmina and Tomoko, were actually people that have rescued themselves actually from the adult entertainment world. And we're going to get a little more into that and their personal stories dealing with the entertainment world, the adult entertainment world. We were talking earlier during the break that we really find that we want to escape. Everybody wants to escape. Everybody's looking for an escape. And young kids look for escape. Parents look for escapes. And so I guess I want to talk a little bit about this. When you were thinking about escape, was dancing in your mind when you were thinking about escaping? Or just were you escaping your running away from yourself or running away from your parents or running away from just the everyday onslaught of decision making? I mean, either one of you want to address that?
Well, I found it when I was trying to escape, when I got into the adult entertainment profession, I was having problems everywhere I went. It was like a dark cloud following me. From the time I went to school, I was having problems with the teachers. I was having problems with the students. When I came home, I was having problems with my parents. I go to McDonald's, I would have problems there. Everywhere that I went, there were just problems. And I didn't know what to do, who to talk to. I was a depressed teenager, and it made me angry. So I didn't know what to do. And I was a minor. I didn't have any money. So I just went to the closest thing that I can do to make money to try to support myself. And I got off and I started dancing into the adult entertainment industry.
And what happened? I mean, did you feel like you found yourself in a little bit, or you escaped all that depression and all those other things that were kind of laying heavy on your shoulder? How fast did it happen? I mean, did you just, you know, meet someone that said, oh, you can do this, and come on, get on board, and I'll get you hooked up, and things like that? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, yes, when I was able to escape, it felt like I was running away from my problems, but fixing them at the same time, and I wasn't doing anything but making them very much worse. When I was called the pimp, he was ready to go. I was very young, and in that industry, it's very known for young women to get caught up, because that's what society and that business likes, is very young women. And with the money, the little bit of money or whatever money that I was making at the time, it was sufficient enough for me to take care of myself. I was living in motels and I was living from house to house, and the pimp would take me anywhere I wanted to go. We would go shopping, but that is just not the lifestyle to go.
Well, one of the things I'm thinking about as you're talking to me, Wilhelmina, is this idea of being validated. When you're with someone who says you're beautiful, you're gorgeous, I can give you anything you want in the world, and promising you the world, actually. And, you know, here you came from a kind of a situation of kind of being depressed and tired of it all, and now somebody's offering you the world. It feels like the world, right? So you jump on board, and then you find that even some of the friends, some of the people that you worked with, got a little bit in too deep. And so let's talk about that. Actually, Tomoko, you have a story about how you got in deep, but you got out. You found the escape out of this underworld.
Now, when that far as getting in deep, like before I started, and I was really, you know, smiling all the time, a nice person. But once I started dancing, I lost respect for men. Mm-hmm. I didn't have no respect for men, period, because I felt that all men, you know, were the same. I had a foulest attitude. I was very nasty. It was all about me. Mm-hmm. Forget everybody else. It's all about what I want. Either you got money for me or you don't. My time was not free. We go out to eat, to the movies, whatever, you have to pay for my time. So I just, like, lost myself. And I just didn't have no respect for nobody, including myself. And then it got to a point where I just was tired. I was tired of going to the bar, smelling the cigarette smoke, going home smelling like cigarette smoke, all the drinking, all the different men. I was just tired, and it got to the, and then I got pregnant. So my attitude was, you know, I'm about to have this child. I already had a child. So I'm like, okay, I'm about to have this child. It's time for me to change. You know, and of course, people were very negative about it. Oh, you're going to come back. You're not going to last long out there working once you see your paycheck, you know. And it's hard. And to this day, it's a struggle, you know, because you have your times where you be like, oh, my gosh, you're working from paycheck to paycheck to paycheck. But I look at my children, and that's what keeps me going. But you have to get determined. You have to be tired. And I think once a person hit their breaking point, it's no problem with just walking away from whoever or whatever.
Right, right. So it's really reaching that breaking point, hitting that wall and just saying enough is enough. I'm putting my foot down. I'm changing my ways. And did you find, I mean, some people actually do seek out churches or, you know, some kind of religious organization. Did that happen for you at all?
That didn't happen for me right then. Cause like I said, I was pregnant, and then once I started working, I was working two jobs, and I was working a whole lot. I actually found a church probably back in 2006, and then I got baptized in 2009. I'm still going through a process. I'm not totally there yet. Yep. I'm still finding myself, learning myself, loving myself. It's a everyday process, but I surround myself with more positive people than negative people. I had a lot of negative people in my life, and when once I was able to get out and sit back and look at the things that was going on around me, I knew a lot of people didn't mean me no good. So the people that didn't mean me no good, I had to let go. I started going to church every Sunday. I got baptized in 2009. I keep my kids in church, and I try and keep, you know, positive things going.
Right. And like Zaina was saying earlier, just keeping kids engaged and involved, and, you know, even having downtime together is really important, and knowing how to have downtime together. You don't have to be, you know, this popcorn brain kind of thing, being overstimulated or stimulated every second. We need to learn how to stop. We need to know how to slow down. We need to know how to be still and be with ourselves and be happy with that. And so that's really wonderful. And then so you got the extra help that you needed once you realized, once you got from underneath the, you know, being from the underworld, kind of in that entertainment world, and coming from the outside, you had a better perspective. And so you were able to really look and see who was out there really watching your back and who would really be there to help you out. So did your parents ever play a role, a pivotal role, as you did your 360, as you did your turnabout?
Well, yes. My father, you know, he was asking me what was I going to school for. And at the time, I was going to school for mental health social work. And he was telling me, you know, you need to focus on that. Don't focus on, you know, this dancing, because that's nothing. My mother, she was always supportive of me. And she would always tell me, you know, you better than that. We didn't raise you like that. You could do whatever it is that you want to do. And in the midst of it, the person I was dating at the time was very negative. Like, I had all types of goals. I wanted to have my own business and do things like that, but he would knock me down. So I had to let that go. Now one of my cousins, she's an older lady, she brought me The Secret. I don't know if you ever heard of The Secret, but I listen to The Secret every day. And I have a vision board, and I also have a notebook where I write down things. On one side is the things that I know I could do. And then on the other side, I write down the things that I need God or the universe to do. And at the end of the week, I look at it. So, and a lot of things is coming together. But I learned to love myself. And I guess at one point, I didn't love myself. At one point in my life, I was lost. I was just in another world.
And you know, that takes a very big person to come to that conclusion and say that, even you know, on the air, because you know, it's something that we're always kind of, everybody's got their mask on, they're trying to, you know, prove to everybody that they're bigger and better than what they really see. But we're all going through these little sufferings, and we're all going through these little struggles. And if we would just look to one another, look from the inside out and reach out to one another, I think the world would really be in a much, much better place. Wilhelmina, I wanted you to talk a little bit about the denial stuff. We talked a little bit about that. So can you address that for us, please?
Well, a lot of people are in denial about everything, society, the world, everything we see on television. They're in denial of being a stripper. They're in denial of being a drunk. They're in denial of being wicked and evil to other people. They're in denial for all sorts of things, of the things that they did. But you have to, as a person, overcome those obstacles. No one is perfect. No one is perfect at all. And I think once you get your mindset of coming out of denial, that you are not the only one going through what you're going through, you will become a better person. You have to, I learned for myself to learn to speak to myself. I can give myself the best encouragement over what anybody else can say, because when you're lost and you're depressed and you're looking for something and you can't find it, you have to begin to speak to yourself, to uplift yourself.
You know, I want to just, if I may, just say something about that, because in the parenting program that I offer in the district, we do talk about, it's called self-talk. What is your self-talk? And typically what parents do is they talk down. They talk themselves down. They talk their kids down. It's put down stuff. And we got to remember that every little thing that you're sharing inside your head is feeding your cells. It's feeding every part of your body. It's going in through your bloodstream. And so that is so powerful, what you just said, and how important that is to really feed yourself the right self-talk, to pick yourself up, as my mother used to say, by your own bootstraps, you know, and carry on. And that's what it is, because we are all going through so many things, like you just said. And it's like, it's so easy to get depressed and just feel like you're out there all by yourself. But you know what? Probably next door, the neighbor's going through some similar things that you're going
exactly.
through, or somebody in your neighborhood, right? Or even somebody in your family, right? So go ahead. You were going to say a little bit more about that.
Exactly. A lot of people, they seem to walk around and think that these problems don't exist on other people. And you need to look at the other person, not to look at them and really judge them, to know that they have problems too. They might not be as bad as yours, or they might be in a better position. You do not know, but people need to really try to focus on themselves and not so much as what other people think. And when you're out speaking and you're looking for something, when you go to Resources Center, and when people tell you that you cannot do something, I was taught as a child, you can be the president. Mm-hmm. So here I am today saying, okay, I can be the president, but I have the whole world looking around me. You cannot be the president.
Right.
So when I got older, I was thinking, well, why would you tell me I could be the president or a firefighter or a police officer? But when it's time for it to actually get done, you want to tell me no. So I just stick to no, I can.
Mm-hmm,
so when someone says no, which is negative,
yeah,
I just turn it around into something positive.
And see, and I think parents can be empowered just by telling their kids, you can be what you want to be, as long as you know what it is you want to be. And then we follow, like, a process. There's a process. There's a plan. There's these steps that you have to take. Well, if you want to be a doctor, how do you see yourself doing that? What are the steps you have to take? I'll be there to back you and to support you. And so that's what it is. It is the self-talk. It is about, because otherwise your parents look like liars, right? You go, yes. Oh, you can be the president. Oh, you can run this company and that company, and you can have this and have that, and you never get to there. And you think, why did my parents lie to me? They let me down. And that's so disheartening for kids, you know? And we do find, too, typically what happens is we repeat what our parents did. You know, when we raise our kids, we repeat some of the same mistakes. We learned too. We've learned, and we make some, charge out and charge forward, taking new risk and trying things differently. But we still do some of the same mistakes that our parents did. And so I think it's really important that our parents set very excellent examples, that they should be the leaders and they should lead by example.
Yes, because when you do not do these types of things, children go down the wrong road. They start turning to things that is not acceptable. And these things is what society has accepted to be normal. But we all know as citizens that this is not acceptable. And this is what society has accepted. And we want to fit into society and be accepted on every end or division or whatever it is that someone's doing to just fit in. You can go to school and try to fit in. You can try to go get a job and try to fit in. You can go to the gym and try to fit in. It's just too many things of what people are out here setting for to try to fit in into too many different things instead of your own inner person or what you want.
Yep, fitting in with yourself.
Yes.
Yeah, because if you fit in with yourself, you're going to fit in with everything else.
Yes.
And it's that simple. I mean, it's so crazy that it's that simple, but yet we miss the boat on it.
Yes.
Everybody goes through these struggles for years and years and years before they realize it. And how wonderful we keep getting these lessons. You know, we keep stumbling along and learning a new lesson. But it is that simple. And so I'm just so thrilled that you're both able to come here and talk about what it was like for you, you know, going through some of these struggles. And the other thing that I wanted to talk about is really getting out of the business. Where do people go? How do they do this? How do they get out of the business and, you know, cut it, sever that, boom, boom, done. I'm on the new chapter in my life, in my book.
Getting out the business, I think, you have to be at your breaking point. Because if you're not at your breaking point, you will backslide and go back. Once you're at your breaking point, if you have friends or someone that has a job that can help you get a job to get you motivated, because I think once you get out the business and you're just sitting at home, that's too much time on your hands to go back. So if you have positive people in your life that can help you get back on your feet, then you have to go to them. And you also have to cut off all your friends that don't.
They were supposedly your friends, people
right.
that were in the business.
Right. You got to cut all ties with the people that's in the business, especially the people that's not trying to get out.
Well, one of the things we talked about was that it's like a society. It's its own society. And so there's rules, there's norms, and there's support for when you're in that society. And so getting out isn't as easy as just opening the door, closing the door, and bye everybody, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I can understand. Go ahead, Wilhelmina. I think you have something you might be thinking here.
Well, when I use these resources at Lincoln Behavioral Services and Michigan Rehabilitation Services and the Children's Center, these were all successful resources to guide me to help me out of the business. But at the same time, I was getting help and trying to do the right thing, and it was a calling for, I want more. I'm doing good. I'm doing good using these services. And I'm also doing good in the adult entertainment industry. So which path should I take? And it was very, very difficult. I was able to get out the business. I had everything. I had men. I had money. I had power. I had schooling. I had put myself through college. I thought I had it all. And God took everything away from me. He took my houses. He took my cars. He took my money. He took my life. He took everything in the business away from me, literally with just a blink of an eye. I couldn't figure out what was going on. Everything that I touched, it just crumbled. All of the money, it just all vanished. And I was able to try to retire from the business, which I did retire. and the state of Michigan tried to kill me. Mm-hmm. And I wrote a book about the lifestyle and how I was how I got into the business and how I'm still struggling, still trying to completely come out of the business. And the website is www.jesussaveslexi.com. Also, the name of the book is Jesus Saves Lexi. It will be available at Barnes & Noble on Amazon, and it will be published. It's coming soon. It's coming soon. And it's basically a true story of an adult entertainer getting into the business and trying to come out of the business and to let the world know that this is not what everybody thinks it is. And this is to help young girls as myself and even men, because men have problems too. Mm-hmm. The things that we are subjected to every day and the lifestyle of just, I'm going to say, a lot of wicked.
Mm-hmm. And there's so much of, especially with, I think women, I know I suffer from this sometimes, you know, just trying to please. You know, women, they've been typically in these roles of pleasing others. And so we let, you know, pleasing ourselves is not always first and foremost, right? But it is important that we do take care of ourselves. And I think you both alluded to that, that we have to kind of stand up and take a stand for ourselves and take account of who we are and what we're going to bring to the community, you know, based on our gift. Maybe you do have these gifts inside, and everybody's got these gifts, and yet sometimes we get to the breaking point and we lose everything before we realize what the gift really is. So I think that I think for this show, I'd like to just say that I'm hoping that our listeners go away feeling something inside their heart to reach out to others. If it's somebody in your neighborhood, especially a young woman, a young adult that who's struggling or confused and needs some direction and needs some help and needs some guidance, that you'll feel upon, you know, just that you'll just feel the calling and reach out, because I think it's about reaching out to people. It's about communicating with one another. It's about saying, you know, things are really, they are perfect. They are perfect. What you went through is perfect. It's brought you to here today. It's given you, you've got a book coming out, you know, you've got beautiful children, you've got a job, you've established some great relationships. So everything is perfect. Things have happened because they were supposed to happen in some way, because everybody's going to go full circle with what's going on in their life, but that you come out alive and that you come out being able to share with others, to empower others, to give guidance to others, to give them direction, to stay empowered, to stay, you know, with your head on your shoulders and your heart in place, and not be distracted by everything else in the world out there, and stop feeling like you're being judged and judging others. But go ahead and I do want to say thank you, Wilhelmina, for being here today. And Tomoko, thank you so much for sharing a personal story with our listeners. It's meant a lot to me, and I'm sure it does to our listeners. And I do have to give one disclaimer that the thoughts and the comments and ideas expressed here are not the the ideas and thoughts and comments from of WHFR or HFCC. But go ahead, and I'll let you do your few little wrap-ups for us today. Go ahead.
Again, my resources that I use to get help, to if you need help to stand for who you are and you need some assistance or any type of assistance, it is the Children's Center. It is located at 79 West Alexandrine Street, Detroit, Michigan, 48201. Their main number is 313-262-1072. Their call center is 313-262-1212. They also have a screening process. It's a one-hour telephone conversation and intake process. It is 1-866-690-8257.
Give that number one more time, please.
It is 1-866-690-8257. And this is the Children's Center. This place is designed for teenagers and you or whoever you know, your friends, relatives, not to be alone in immediate services. And there was also Lincoln Behavioral Services. Their location is 9329 Telegraph Road, Redford, Michigan, 48239. Their telephone number is area code 313-937 313-937-9500. Again, that's area code 313-937-9500. They also have a 1-800 number. It is 1-866-462-6730. And you can always Google Michigan Rehabilitation Services. There's no age limitation on these resources. They are designed to help children and adults. So parents, this is good for parents and children. You can Google them, and you will locate your office by your zip code. And all their disabilities to get into this program, all disabilities must be documented by a physician. And these disabilities include physical, mental, LD learning, substance abuse, transitional students from high school, special education. And they are very, very resourceful.
Thank you. And go ahead. Why don't you give us your last little say-so here, Tomoko?
I just want to say, whatever you're going through, it will be okay. You have to stay positive and do whatever it is that makes you happy that's in a positive way. And if you have negative people in your life, no matter how much you love them, you have to let them go. And focus on loving yourself. And whatever you put out is what you will get back. If you're putting out negative vibes, you're going to get back negative vibes. If you're putting out positive vibes, you will get back positive vibes. Love yourself and others, and do whatever it is to make you happy.
Wow, how beautiful, how strong, how powerful. Yay! Thank you both so much for being on the show. It means so much to me. And so, listeners, please, you know, we've got a lot of good word here from a lot of good people. And so go forth in the world and make a difference, make a positive difference. And you're listening to WHFR Dearborn, 89.3 on your FM dial. And I just want to say you are also listening to the Parent Connect program, and I'm Margaret King Ahmed, your host. And every fourth Monday of every month from 6 to 7, you can hear this program. So tune in, and please, this is a pre-recorded program, but we would love to hear your thoughts and ideas and what you think. So give us a call here at the station. And also, I want you to know that this show can be heard and it will be available after broadcast on the podcast. So make sure you get to that if you're not going to call us up on the phone. And I also want to thank the producer of my show here, Roger White. This couldn't be possible without him, so thank you very much. And to Jay Cornick and to WHFR staff and HFCC for providing the community with such a great radio, a non-commercial radio station. So, I guess I was going to tell you who we might be having in the future here. We've got I've got a nurse that's going to be coming in from the school district, in the Dearborn school district, to talk about some of the childhood diseases and some of the bacteria and you know, things that cause sickness for kids, or viruses and whatnot. And that should be happening just before school starts up, which would be a perfect time to know more about that. And also a friend from the district who is going to talk to us a little bit about reading and what are some of the signs of a struggler, a struggling reader, and what can parents do and where can they turn to, and what are some of the things that they can do to help their children learn to read or become better readers. And I know one thing for sure, it starts with being positive. And as a parent, I know how important that is. The message to be positive starts at home, and everything we do, our kids, you know, they mimic what we do. They watch us. They carefully watch us, and they study what we do, and they mimic what we do. So we have to lead by example. And staying positive is the best thing to do. And the self-talk that we were talking about earlier is so critical for people to learn how to manage themselves. It just starts with the self-talk. What are you saying to yourself? What kind of things are you talking? Are they things that make sense? Are they things that are positive? Are they things that are uplifting? Or are they things that are just putting you down, and the people you're with, do you put them down? So be careful, be mindful, and remember communication. Communication and time. That's so important when parenting. And, you know, there's no handbook. You don't get a handbook when you become a parent. And it's the hardest thing you'll ever do in your life. And it's the thing you'll do for the rest of your life, because chances are after you're a parent, you'll become a grandparent. And so we really want to be very careful about the messages that we give our kids. And we want to be very careful about what we share with them and how soon we share things, and learning how to just share control at home. That it's not a dictatorship at home. It's about sharing, you know, responsibility and teaching people to be responsible and to break away from the helplessness and feel like you are a family, a real strong unit that is about success, and that your success is your children's success and vice versa. So anything you can do to get your kids out there and to be social and to be part of the living and be active and productive is very important. I was at Tim Hortons today, and I found and discovered that they have a camp for kids, and you can find out more about that by going to Tim Hortons. But I was so shocked. I didn't realize they did such a thing. So, you know, be out there and check out the resources. We had plenty of resources that were given today for you. And just remember, you know, love yourself. When you love yourself, you go out there and love others, and you really have a positive impact. Empower yourself, empower others. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to bringing you another Parent Connect program. Thank you.
Teach your parents well. Their children's hell will slowly go by. Them on your dreams, the one they picked, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry, so just look at them and sigh, and know they
Mom, Dad, I'm in eighth grade now. That means those years of peer pressure are way behind me. From here on out, it's all about good grades and living up to your totally realistic expectations. Alcohol is probably the last thing on my mind. Like you said, I'm too young to drink. When I'm with my friends, all we talk about are current events and boy bands. We're definitely not curious about what alcohol tastes like or why the older kids drink. And do I notice when you have a drink at dinner? Of course not. Just like I haven't noticed where you keep the alcohol. Oh, and if the opportunity arises to talk to me about drinking, you should definitely continue to avoid it. And if you do bring it up, just remind me that I'm too young. That'll probably do the trick.
Real kids are curious about alcohol. 40% try it by the eighth grade. Start a real conversation at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. Talk early, talk often, get others involved. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
There's a new day and time to play in the waves. Every Sunday, tune in at 11 a.m. and play in the waves with Lindsay.
That's right. Playing in the Waves is moving to Sundays. From 11 to 1, you can tune in and have some family-friendly, folkabilly, funky fun with me on WHFR Dearborn, the station making waves.
Play with me, run with me. Have a little fun with me. Stay
out. Henry Ford Community College and Oakwood Healthcare are proud sponsors of the 2011 Dearborn Farmers and Artisan Market. The Dearborn Farmers and Artisan Market is open Fridays from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. now through October 20.